On today's episode of Analog Out, we've got a Breaking Bad movie announcement. We've got Batman the Animated Series Blu-ray review. We've got a new Disney streaming service. And Sony's not going to E3. What the fuck, Sony? Tune in. Boom! We're back, baby.
Hey, everybody.
Analog Out is back again for the second time today because we done goofed up the recording. Thankfully, I noticed after only 15 minutes instead of the entire thing. Bowman's real happy about it. You can tell in his face.
Thrilled.
Because today we've got video footage.
Yeah, you can see.
So you can see his frustration. Okay. We got a new outro song.
We do.
It was whipped up by our old pal, Mike Wingate.
Yes.
Fantastic musician. And if you stay to the end, you can hear the new outro song. And then you can email us or leave us a review with a little comment in there. Or you can tweet us. And I will give you his email address. And you, too, can purchase for currency, because he's not your friend, a nice outro or intro or an entire song.
He's on SoundCloud, I believe.
He is on SoundCloud.
Daddy Soul Donut.
Daddy Soul Donut.
He's got a lot of great remixes on there.
Yeah.
He doesn't post up too often, but when he does, it's always really good.
Right. So, fantastic. All you need to know about this gentleman here is that he created our intro and our outro. Both are phenomenal. Name's Mike Wingate, Daddy Soul Donut. Hit him up. Get that money in his pocket and get that sweet tune in your pocket. Digitally. Theoretically, you know.
You know.
Yeah. So, on that note, let's get right into it. Bowman.
Mm-hmm.
Sony announced they're not going to
E3. Oh.
Yeah. Why? Why do you think this is?
Well, E3 is, I think, Nintendo's already kind of proven that you don't really need to have a press conference in E3 anymore.
They do a press conference,
though.
They
do a press conference, but not at E3.
Right.
Like, they do it outside of E3.
But Sony didn't say, we're going to not do our press conference at E3. They were like, we're not going to E3 this year. Also, Nintendo is at E3.
So, I guess I misunderstood this announcement. So, they're not present at all.
The way they made it sound,
because that's what I'm trying to clarify. Are they just not having a conversation, a whatever you call it,
press conference,
or are they just not having? I mean, I guess PlayStation will still be represented in multiple ways there, I'm sure.
I mean, for their sake, I would hope so.
Yeah, I think it's E3 is just one of those events where we thought it would fade away into obscurity by now, and it hasn't. Still, it's still always a big deal every year when it comes around.
They want it to not be a thing.
Yes.
They say that the reason why they don't go anymore, same with Nintendo and Sony, and why places have less of a presence there, is because it's not as necessary and it's not a big thing anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not true. They just want it to be like that because, in truth, it costs them millions of dollars to throw these big... throw these big events and have these stands set up that are like Disney World level, like play areas basically. And
to have giant announcements all at the same time as all the other companies.
What's weird though is that the last year at E3, Sony had the biggest, most ridiculous conference out of everyone.
It was so over the top. Maybe they bankrupted themselves.
It was like it was in multiple locations. They had like musicians playing like just like abstract pieces of the conference, where it's just like, what are they doing?
They had their own commentary team for their own conference.
Yeah, it was like an ESPN event.
It was so, so strange.
So over the top. And then this year they're like, yeah, we're not doing it anymore.
Yeah.
It would be like if this year at Halloween I had like a giant catered party with like ice sculptors and stuff, and then next year I'd be like, Halloween's not a big deal. Like,
it's kind of like Nerdapalooza.
Yeah, well, that wasn't out of choice. So, it's just a strange thing. I don't think that E3 is dying or that it needs to go away or whatever.
I would have said that like 10 years ago, but not anymore at this point.
It's, well, because people, I know people who don't follow gaming stuff like we do, and they watch E3.
Yeah.
That's where a lot of the lesser hop people who are lesser into the hobby get a lot of their news and, mm-hmm. and entertainment from it. So you're missing out. If your company isn't at E3 and it's not announcing stuff, that's a loss, because people are not following you on Twitter. That's your hardcore fans that are going to know regardless. Average Joe is not following you on Twitter, watching every announcement you make and following every, you know, everything you say. So if you quietly just announce that a game is coming out, they're not going to know. People aren't going to know what's up. I think it has a, I think, first of all, it's a cultural event. It's the biggest gaming event in the world of the year, and people tune in, they watch. I pop popcorn and gather around with, you know, I usually have a friend or something over, and we watch the press conferences, because you never know what spoofs and goofs are going to happen. So I think it's definitely still a relevant event in the world of gaming, and I think Sony done goofed here. You think they're going to do a digital conference or something like Nintendo, or think they're just going to be gone in the wind?
I'd be surprised if they didn't have a digital conference. I think it'd be a really strange move.
Yeah.
To just not be present at all. I think that's a really risky decision to just have no presence at all while all these video game companies are being represented in announcing these giant things. You need to have something. So I think that they will possibly go down the digital route. I'll be surprised. I mean, I'm not saying that it's impossible, but I mean, I'd be really surprised if they just had nothing.
Yeah.
So.
But how are they going to... It's such a 180, because everyone's like, oh, they're going to announce the PS5. And then they're like, we're not even going to be there.
Maybe they're enjoying all the press it's getting from simply announcing not being there.
I think... Oh, so we've talked about this before, actually, on the podcast. And it almost perfectly ties into what happens every single console life cycle. Someone gets way too full of themselves and then does a goof like this, where they... Where, like, Sony's on top of the world right now. They've sold, what, 80 million consoles or some shit like that for the PS4. Everyone's got a PS4. They're selling like hotcakes. They're easily number one. And then they get full of themselves. And they're like, we don't need to go to E3. It's a waste of our time. And you get that hubris. And then you fuck it up. Just like Nintendo did with the Wii U. Just like Microsoft did with the Xbox One. Just like Sony did with the PS3.
Yeah, at the beginning of the cycle. At
least, yeah.
But yeah.
You know, $599 US. Coming right off of that high from the PS2. Yep. Yeah. Oh, we sold over 100 million units. The people will just buy whatever we sell them. here's a system with no games worth buying for $600.
Yep.
And nobody bought it. So... Yeah, it just falls right in line with that. We're always saying it. Get your shit together. Get your head on straight, Sony. Get in the game. Get your head in the game. So, hey, got anything else to say about that?
Nope.
Great. All right. So, Reggie had an interview recently. Did you hear about this?
Old man Reggie? What did he have to say?
That wild man Reggie. He went on the record.
Right, I did hear about this, actually. Dropped
the mic. He said there's no N64 classic on the horizon that they're working on. Think he's telling the truth? What's old Reggie up to now?
What's old Reggie up to? I don't know. Has he ever done something like this where he just went, not happening, and then it gets announced?
Well... He didn't say it's not happening.
Well, I mean, we're not working on it.
Yes, he said they're not working on it. I think it might, honestly, knowing Reggie, I think it's more likely that they're working on it that he said that, because he says, like, what he's been saying about Mother 3, we hear you, wait, ask us again later. That's what he always says about, like, Metroid and Animal Crossing and... Mother 3 and all that shit, whenever it's like not coming out for a long time, he's always like, we hear what you're saying, we read your comments, ask about it later. And then you've got N64 Classic, which is like, Seems like a no-brainer. Everyone's expecting it. And he's like, nope.
Well, but to me, it just adds more evidence to... I never really wanted an N64 classic. And, like, not even just me. Just I just don't know if it's going to be... If it's going to be probable or not. Especially with this PlayStation Classic coming out. And they announced kind of some disappointing games. I don't see N64 Classic being able to announce a bunch of games that people care about either.
The difference is that Nintendo owns the licenses for all the games that everyone wants for the N64, whereas Sony has to, like, license out a bunch of shit.
Yeah.
That's why Sony went cheap on the PS1 Classic. That's why it has a shitty game lineup.
I think it's really hard to have the N64 Classic without the Rare games. I think that's a really hard thing to do.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But does Rare own the rights to that game? Just because they developed it doesn't mean... They developed it under the umbrella of Nintendo. Like, Nintendo owns the rights to all the characters and stuff
know.
Like that.
I know that they released it on their own through Microsoft.
They didn't release Donkey Kong 64.
Oh, true. I forgot about that hit game.
Hidden gem. Did they release Banjo-Kazooie on that?
Yes, they released Banjo-Kazooie, Banjo-Tooie, Perfect Dark.
RC Pro-Am 2?
No. Yes. Conker's Bad Fur Day.
Yeah.
Yeah, all those games were released through that. I think they do retain their own rights.
But so. Microsoft and Nintendo are best pals now.
Right, never mind.
I see them on Twitter. They say, we love you guys.
We love
you.
So
they actually do act like best pals on Twitter.
Yeah, I think that they probably have had or are having conversations about getting those games out there. I think Reggie, this is just pure speculation, talking out of my ass like everyone does.
Come on, we all know your uncle works at Nintendo.
Yeah. I read this as it's something we're definitely working on, but we want to do it right, and if we're going to do it correctly, it's not going to happen for a while. I think these are going to be pretty tough conversations to have with all these companies.
Well, because emulation on the N64 is not
good. That's also a point I wanted to bring, is that, like, yeah, it's not so simple as to just have an N64 emulator, because we've seen the emulation on SNES Classic and NES Classic, and they're fine, but that's because NES
they're
Classic...
They're fine. They're
yeah,
not
exactly.
Great.
They're not. They're fine, and, like, NES and SNES emulation is pretty up to snuff at this point. Yeah. And N64 emulation, it's pretty good. It's just that I don't think it's good to the point...
It doesn't meet Nintendo's standards.
Yeah, I mean, it happened already. I mean, there are Wii games, and they worked fine. They ported games... I'm in the middle when it comes to that, because they have ported games over to GameCube. I mean, obviously, they did Ocarina of Time. They did Majora's Mask.
Right.
The Wii games, you can buy all those N64s, and they emulate decently on the Wii.
Yeah,
I don't know of a standalone how well a standalone, like, Raspberry Pi product will work.
Right, because that's essentially what these are.
Yes, exactly.
The Raspberry Pi.
Yeah, so I don't know. I could, like, again, like, there could be some awesome Raspberry Pi emulation technology I'm not aware of, and it actually does run really well. I doubt it.
It's over in Area 51.
I doubt it. So I think the N64 Classic is something that they want to do. I think they still like money, but there's just so much more that comes with it. I think another factor people aren't considering is that this could be a good or bad thing, is that the N64 was pretty heavy reliant on 4-player games.
Yeah.
So if you have one, you're going to need to produce enough controllers for four controllers, and that's going to be a big release at that point and a higher price tag. And
well, I think they'll probably bundle two in.
Bundle two in the
and then sell them separately, because realistically, as an adult, and that's who's going to be buying these. How many times do you have four friends over?
True.
And are like they're like begging to play that N64.
Yeah, it's true.
It's a nice thought, but I don't ever, you know, very rarely do I ever have enough people over to play 4-player games. And if I do, it's like, well, I'll play Mario Kart 8.
Yeah.
Not Mario Kart 64.
That's my problem with the N64. Is that there are some great games for it. It's a great system. It's just that it's not nearly as... It's not the same. The NES Classic was an easy sell, just because the emulation's already really well done. Plenty of games they can release. And it has a much wider audience that can reach. Is your video okay?
Yeah, it's fine. It just says it can't record audio. Another app is using the mic.
Oh, great.
So it's going to be hard for me to line it up properly. Well. But I'll figure it out. But yeah, so it's...
Yeah, so I mean, like, I just don't think the N64, the way that it can be released at this point, I just think it's going to take them a while. And I think that's all... That's what I think Reggie was saying about it.
Okay, so now that we got that out of the way, when is the GameCube Classic coming out?
Same time that they released GameCube games on the Switch?
Yeah. That was actually my next point, is with the announcement that there's no N64 Classic on the horizon.
That means confirmed.
Confirmed.
Mother Switch. 3 N64 coming right. out.
Right, the Earthbound 64, yeah, finished the game.
They finished the game.
It's coming to the Switch. Mark it in your calendars. It's going to be announced at E3 2019.
I do think it's time to move on to adding some more games to their Switch service. I don't know if it's ever going to happen. Who knows?
We've had two or three months with it now. Actually, just like a month and a half. What are your feelings on the old virtual console on the Switch?
I don't play it.
Yeah. Same.
I don't play it. I have my NES Classic and my SNES Classic, so if I want to play a classic game, I play that. It just runs better.
Yeah.
I like the controllers better. I know they're releasing the official controllers soon, but...
I've actually got a couple coming from Japan.
Do you?
Had a house guest coming, staying with me, that's going to be
bringing me in.
Yeah.
Wasn't aware you arranged that already.
Right. the controllers are coming.
The controllers are coming. Here's where it stands right now, the Switch versus the classic systems. I can either boot up my Switch system and play this whatever selection of games that they currently have with whatever emulator on a controller that I can't change the controls on at all.
Ugh.
And so it's like really already weird to play it. And then eventually I can get these special controllers, which are like $60, and nice. I can only use them on those games too. They're not even usable for other games.
Yeah.
Or I can just play my NES Classic, and it was $60, no nonsense, and I got all the games I want to play right there.
But what if you want to play Solomon's Key?
Oh, true. Didn't think about that.
Checkmate.
Bullseye. So, no, and the online feature for it is garbage. It's not.
We need to finish that game of River City Ransom.
We should. It's just that it's so blech that yeah. It's just that I'd rather just sit here with you one day and just play it together at your place.
Well, because they didn't with the online emulator, they did not program it so each person has their own emulator running, and then you like connect.
Yeah, like an actual like old PC emulation,
right? Like they've been doing for 25 years.
Yeah.
They set it up like one person is hosting the game, and the other person comes in and is the second player locally.
It's basically the PS Plus service.
Right. And we tried to play an old-timey game once like that with Super Baseball 2020, and it was unplayable.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's a terrible system. Not a fan. So
no, it's not good.
Hopefully they do something with that, because they are tearing these ROM sites down and stuff, and they're not providing a good alternative.
Yeah.
So, thankfully, it doesn't seem like they give a shit about hacking the systems, because that's really, nowadays, the only way you're going to be able to play their games, because they're not providing them on the virtual console. Yeah. Definitely a huge lost opportunity there, too.
Yeah. So, silly.
I'm sure they'll probably introduce some bullshit like, well, we have the Nintendo Online Service Plus that's $60 a year. That also includes Super Nintendo games now.
Their time is running out with me when it comes to my interest level with their classic games. It's just that they've pissed me off. I just don't care at this point. And if they release something, I may or may not buy it at this point.
They're assholes.
Yeah, it's just... They've done a good job releasing a different product that plays them. So it's just that's where I'm at, where I'm like, well, I'm just going to play these. That's where I'm at now. Don't care. I have plenty of games to play on my Switch right now, so... Maybe that's where they're coming from on it, where they just really just don't want to focus on classic games whatsoever. It seems like a really silly thing not to want to make money on, but...
Yeah. Okay.
Yep.
Well, on that note, thanks, Reggie. We appreciate the quote.
Yeah.
Bowman, we lost someone this this week.
We're not
Bowman laughing. Really doesn't want to talk about this because he's not a Stan Lee fan. We're not laughing that Stan Lee passed away. Just that he doesn't know anything about comics or Stan Lee.
Yeah, I'm not going to take this time to talk about how I don't care about comics, but Stan Lee passed away. He's a bit, obviously, you all know who he is.
He was huge.
He's gigantic.
I mean, the biggest person in comics of all time, mm-hmm. easily.
Yeah.
Everyone knows who he is, and everyone knew who he was, honestly, before the whole Marvel movie thing blew up.
Yeah. He's going to go down in history books as a really big figure.
He really will. It's not, because it's not just about comics.
No.
The X-Men and Spider-Man, I mean, he created these, he didn't create Spider-Man, but the X-Men and the Incredible Hulk, and it's not about the comics, these were big moments in history because of what they stood for, what they represented, and he was always pushing the envelope and creating these socially aware stories without throwing it in your face. So it's like, you know, X-Men was an analog to, you know, the race issues in the 60s and civil rights and things like that. And he created characters that resonated with everyday people that weren't superhumans. Not necessarily, mm-hmm. you know, it was more grounded in realism, as silly as that sounds. But it was always like, you know, Fantastic Four, they got hit with like some solar flare or whatever. That's what set it off. It's not like Superman where he's just like, I'm a god. I just showed up here, you know, or Green Lantern or, you know, John Jones, the Martian Manhunter in DC, who's like he's a Martian. He's an alien. Everyone was always like an alien or a god or something like that. And in Marvel, it was more grounded in reality. You know, Spider-Man got
everyday
bit by a spider.
Everyday people becoming...
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
And on top of that, he did things that socially pushed the envelope. And he was an important figure. So I think, yeah, like you said, he will be remembered fondly.
Yeah.
And he was a big deal. So my personal story with Stan Lee is my mom, when Islands of Adventure opened, my mom is a tour guide at Universal.
So this is back in, like, what, 99?
99, yeah. Mm-hmm. So he was, like, 75, you know, or not, he was, like, 80. He's, like, 80 years old, so I don't even know if he could go on many of the rides. Definitely not riding that Hulk. But he was, so she took him on tour, and he was super nice, 99, so I was like 10 years old, and I didn't know who the fuck he was. I had maybe seen him in Mallrats at that point, but I didn't, you know, that's all. So she took him on tour for Islands of Adventure, and anyone who's never been to Islands of Adventure doesn't know what it is. It's a theme park at Universal Studios Orlando, and it has an entire section dedicated to Marvel Superhero. It's Marvel Superhero Island, I think is what it's called.
Yeah.
And there's a Spider-Man ride and a Hulk roller coaster and a Storm
teacup
flat ride and
Free Fall, Doctor Doom.
Dr. Doom's Free Fall. And I think that's about it.
Yeah.
So, pretty cool section. It's based on the comics, not the movies. And she took him on tour, took him around the Marvel Superhero Island, and I guess during the day, mentioned that she had two kids or whatever, and probably mentioned that she was like a single mom. And we were super poor growing up because my mom worked at fucking Universal where she probably got paid, you know, back in 1999, she was probably making like $8 an hour. And so we were really poor, didn't have a lot of stuff usually. And one day a box shows up and it's addressed from Stan Lee's office, and he sent us like a box full of toys and comic books and stuff, all signed by him and whatnot. And my mom let us open them up. Still kind of bitter about it to this day, but I understand her reasoning. She was like, we were super poor and you guys just wanted to play with toys. So it's whatever. But so anyone who's a Stan Lee nut out there, I ripped open signed action figures and comics from Stan Lee and played with the toy and tossed the autograph in the bin. So, but yeah, so that's my personal story. I mean, everyone who's ever worked with him or ever interacted with him always talks about how nice of a guy he was and how warm of a heart he had. And I never met him personally, yet he somehow, even never meeting him, somehow managed to show me personal kindness. So that is my Stan Lee story. What's your Stan Lee story?
My little brother is the big comic book fan in our family, and he's been to several conventions. So he's, I think, he's, I'm pretty sure he's met him. So
yeah,
I don't really have a story for you. Okay. I just know, like everyone says hearsay, just he's always been a very nice guy. And I think I'm almost 100% sure my brother has met him. I'd be shocked if he didn't.
Well, it was a nice surprise to get on your doorstep, I tell you what, especially when the other thing that we got on our doorstep around that time was a cat with its heart cut out. That's a true story.
Oh, my God.
So, little two sides of the same coin, almost.
Right. Did Stan Lee send that?
It's possible. He might have been upset that he never got a thank you note.
Yikes.
So.
No, but seriously, yeah.
Huge icon, yeah. And he will be missed.
For sure.
Real quick, I saw something that really upset me in regards to, and I don't know the guy. I never knew the guy. I have my story, but like I wasn't broken up about it. I didn't post online about it or anything. But this stuff still bothers me no matter who it is. The day that he died, I saw a headline from IGN that was like, Stan Lee recorded his Avengers 4 cameo before he died.
Oh,
that was like worthy of like front page. He's like, don't worry, guys.
Wow.
And I saw that actually a lot online. Just people being like, did he record his cameo already? Like, that's what they were concerned about.
Yeah.
And it disgusts me. And even more so than disgust me, because this isn't a one-time thing. And I'm not going to go into a long conversation about it. I just, you know this because you've known me for a long time and I talk about it with you pretty openly whenever something like this happens. It's funny because we do a podcast on it, but I despise like pop culture.
Yeah.
In our, you know, like nerd culture and like just, it pisses me off. Everything about it pisses me off. Not just the whole Stan Lee thing, not just the disregard for humanity in favor of like, you know, like everyone's question when Carrie Fisher died was like, how are we going to do episode 9? It's like, this person is fucking dead. She's got family and stuff.
Yeah. I think people forget that. And just to clarify what you mean by that, yeah, it's like Robin Williams died and someone went, really gonna miss you, Jeannie. And like, it's like, great. Like, I understand on one form, you're just trying to say that like,
you were a fan of that.
You had an impact on you, but.
It's not the death thing though. Like, I just hate everything about it. The shirts at Walmart and the Comic-Con with the exclusive toy that if you gotta have it and you gotta go there and you gotta get that 1 out of 100 Funko Pop that's gonna be in a fucking landfill in 20 years and you gotta get that tattoo so everyone knows that you like Spider-Man.
Well, I mean, another weird thing that I heard is that my mom was at a Comic-Con and the last Comic-Con and people were like talking, you can get like autographs from Stan Lee and everything, right. And people were like whispering and stuff. Yeah, I heard he's not doing too well.
Better get guy's fucking 95 years old.
Yeah, it's like, okay.
What clued you in?
Like, but like implying like, better get that autograph soon. Yeah. And it's like, yeah, yeesh.
Disgusting.
Yeesh.
Absolutely disgusting. Yeah, what clued you in that he wasn't doing too well? Was it because his wife of 75 years died? Like, yeah. Absolutely disgusting. It reminds me of the interview with J.R.R. Martin, or I think his name is, who does the Game of Thrones books. And the interviewer asked him, like, are you almost done with the last book? He was like, no. And he's like, are you worried that you're going to die before? This is a real interview that happened.
Are you worried that you're going to die?
Are you worried that you might die before? Like, or like people are worried that you might die before you finish the book because he's like old and fat. So, and he was just like, fuck you. It's like, this is a guy's life, and you're concerned, like, are you going to finish that book first? So, and I think it's, I don't see that level of, like, disgusting, selfish fandom as much as you see it in nerd culture.
Yeah.
And it's not just, with, like, movies and stuff. It's also games, video games and stuff. People are very entitled, and you kind of forget that the humanity of it. And I think we talked about it a few months ago where I forgot exactly what it was, but I said, oh, it was the earthquake or whatever.
Yeah.
Where it was like, yeah, I'm annoyed by it because I want a new Nintendo Direct, but like, people fucking died.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, you have a city that's like,
yeah, let's try to remember
you have
the
like
grand
employees
scope
for these companies that like,
yeah,
yeah, they don't know if their
let's,
family's okay.
Yeah,
or
let's
not
try to remember the grand scope of,
right,
of what's going on here.
Yeah,
and that's the same situation here. I don't see that in like I'm a big basketball fan. I don't see that type of stuff in sports. When somebody retires, it's not like people are not like, oh, I'm never gonna get to see this guy play again or whatever. I hope I get to see him play before he retires. It's always just a matter of respect, and it's like, you've done your time.
Mm-hmm.
And that seems to be lacking severely in nerd pop culture. Yeah, so that really disturbed me. And the whole thing annoys me, just on a personal level. I'm, like I said, not on like the whole like people dying thing either. I just hate the way that it's, I think it's maybe because it's grown so big that you just have there, since there's so many more people, because it used to be a niche thing, like Comic-Con and stuff, until things like The Walking Dead is really when it started to blow up, and things like that, where now like soccer moms are like, I'm a huge nerd because they like Marvel movies and The Walking Dead.
Mm-hmm.
So that's when it really started to blow up. And when you blow up like that and you have like a lot more fans, I guess there's just bigger chance for you to have a bunch of scumbags and idiots. So maybe that's what happened. But yeah, it's always bothered me. So, yeah. So that's, rest in peace, Stan. Bye bye. All right. So on that note, we got a new Disney streaming service announced.
Another one?
Well, the one.
Oh,
but it's like they're
finalized,
like ramping up, getting ready. Yeah, Disney Plus streaming service, and they announced that there's going to be a Rogue One prequel television show. So, did you see Rogue One?
Yep.
Did you need a prequel show?
Nope.
Okay. This isn't actually about the Disney Plus prequel, Rogue One. I mean, we'll take 1 minute to be like, nobody cares about Rogue One, and nobody definitely cares about a streaming. They seem to be totally tone deaf when it comes to Star Wars. Like, they don't know what to do with it. And I saw, I might have been on Red Letter Media or something. I was watching them, and they were like, George Lucas really is like a business genius. Like, he saw the writing on the wall and was like, there's nowhere else to go with this franchise. I'll just sell it for billions of dollars and let Disney fucking deal with it and crank them. And that seems to be what he's done.
Yeah.
Because they don't know what the fuck to do with this thing at all. And they just keep keep making misstep after misstep, and nobody gives a shit. Nobody gives a shit about Rogue One TV show. So on that note though, they canceled all their Disney canceled all their Marvel shows with Netflix.
Yeah.
Daredevil and all that. Punisher and...
Oh, those shows?
Well, I don't know if they announced specifically Daredevil and Punisher, because Daredevil was just released, so maybe they don't want to be like, we canceled the show, so then nobody watches the new season. But Jessica Jones and Luke Cage and Green Arrow, Greenman, Green Ninja, whatever his name was, Ninja Man, he's gone, and it's green something, I think. Anyway, yeah, so they canceled all those, probably canceling, you know, based on that, they're probably canceling. And they also canceled the, it's like the ensemble one that they had. I didn't watch that one.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
No.
No.
It's an ensemble of the Defenders, that's it. Mm. They canceled that. It's probably going to cancel Daredevil and Punisher. And, yeah, so Disney canceled all their shit, and now they've got their own streaming service coming. And this is my question to you. Has streaming... Have all these individual subscription services just gone off the rails?
Yes, absolutely. I think we're at a point in time where... At one point in time, like, we wanted this scenario. We wanted all these streaming services. And I think we're getting to a point, though, where we're starting to see the issue with all these big TV shows being spread apart amongst all these streaming services. And it's not realistic to expect people to get subscriptions to all these. So I don't know what the solution is. I think we're just seeing it play out right now, where we're seeing the blow up of streaming services, and it's going to implode on itself, and it's going to have to figure a way out to, like, really make it work on a grander scale like this.
Absolutely. Well, here's the problem. These companies are insane with what they ask price-wise, because when cable was at its worst and people were like, oh, well, I just want like 10 channels, I think they valued ESPN at like $5 or $10 for that channel, and everything else was like worth a dollar.
Mm-hmm.
Now, so that was one channel out of hundreds that was valued at $5 or $10. So now you're telling me that the Disney Channel basically is what it is worth $10 a month on its own? No. WWE Network costs more than Netflix. And it's like, that's one thing. That is one thing. You get wrestling. That's it. You're telling me that's worth $10 a month? No. And that's why all these companies, these streaming services are failing. I want to say I read a year or two ago that WWE Network was not doing well at all as far as their estimates on how much like money they were going to make. And yeah, so when you're valuing everything at like $5 a channel, or, you know, when it's real in reality, it's like worth like a dollar or two a month. That's how you end up failing. And it's almost like a same issue as with the gaming thing earlier with like Sony, where it's hubris. Like, they're like, oh, well, you know, Netflix can do it, so we will too. And it's like, Netflix has thousands of different movies from all these different production companies and stuff. Everybody who tries to come out and compete with Netflix or Amazon doesn't do well. And really, these companies now, Amazon, Netflix, are the cable companies. And you have to deal with them, I think, in order to do well. I don't picture a lot of people moving over to this Disney service. Maybe if they started out, if they did it before the first season of Daredevil, and then, because that was the first one. So if they did it before the first season of Daredevil, and then they had, you know, Jessica Jones and all that stuff on there, and then a Star Wars show, like, maybe then, because it was at its height.
Yeah.
But like, I binge watched Daredevil as soon as it came out, like, stayed up, like, I watched like 8 hours in a row when it first came out. I haven't even watched the new season. I'm burnt out on it, on all the Marvel shit.
Yeah.
I don't watch any of that crap anymore. I didn't watch The Defenders. I didn't watch Ninja Man, Green Man. I'm going to remember the name of that show eventually. It was Iron Fist. That's the name of the show.
Oh, okay.
I don't know where I was getting green from. Iron Fist. I just think it's not just TV either. These subscription boxes are out of fucking control. And
I've seen instances where it works.
Sure.
I currently pay $7 a month for VRV right now, and I kind of like, because it includes several different channels.
VRV?
Yeah.
Verve,
yeah.
Is that the company who does it?
Yeah.
Same company that has the website?
The website?
They have like verve.com.
Oh, maybe. Maybe. Okay. They got like independent cartoon shows, Nick Splat, like a horror movie channel. We got a lot of stuff on there. I don't know what the solution to this problem really is. I don't think it's realistic to think these services are going to cost like a dollar or two a month.
If they cost a dollar or two a month and they get 10 times as many subscribers, then they make more money than if they charge $10 a month.
Maybe. I mean, it could risk devaluing their services and people just don't.
Yeah.
You just brush them off at that point. Like, I don't know. It's really tough because it's a weird thing because like we're starting to see like the necessary evil of the cable company itself, but not necessarily cable. You know what I mean? Like, because it's almost kind of necessary to have a host of
right.
all these things. And it's like, who hosts it? Who gets that piece of the pie?
Yeah.
Like, is there some type of service that everyone can like actually all partner up and agree on and be like, you know what, let's do this. Because there are services out there where you can like pick, all
right,
you get like
right.
five channels.
Things
for
like Sling
month.
TV or
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah, like I think that that's the true future.
Sure. I think they should have a partnership with like a bunch of different companies and you get to pick and choose exactly
yeah.
which channels. Well, because the systems that they have now are not even that good. They're like Sling TV is like, it's not like you get five channels and you get to choose the five channels. It's, this is the basic tier, and
right.
it comes with some crappy channels that nobody wants. And it's like,
mm-hmm.
this is the premium tier, and then it's like the final one is always the sports tier.
I guess they're just still trying to find out a way to make that feasible, but I don't know. As we said, I just think it's growing. I don't know. A service that I would like to see is just something that you can just click all the ones that you want to do, and the more what they could end up doing is being like, the more you have, the cheaper it every channel ends up being. It
yeah.
just goes, all right, oh, you have like six channels now. Just so you know, like it's only $2 to add the Showtime service now because
mm-hmm.
you have all these services already. And then like once you get to a point, it's like, you know what? Only a dollar more to add this one.
Right.
So I think that's where we're going to have to head to. But I mean, I just think we're going to need to see these services like truly fail to really even get there.
Well, the good news is that I have about 30 years before all my relatives that are over the age of 50 pass away and I can't use their online streaming account for their cable anymore. So I've got a little bit of buffer right there. If it wasn't for the elderly, I wouldn't be able to watch a lot of the stuff that I like to watch. So thanks, olds.
Thanks, olds.
Yeah, as a basketball watcher, it's a nightmare for me.
Yeah.
Sports are a nightmare.
Sports is terrible right now.
Sports are a fucking nightmare,
yeah.
man. Like, you know what the NBA's online app, like to be able to watch whatever game I want online costs per year? Take a stab at it.
$200?
Yes. $200.
Did I really guess it?
$200 a year to be able to stream NBA games online. And I've done it before.
Yeah, I know. And we've talked about this before where I've always been wanting to get into basketball.
Yeah.
But the price tag's too high for
well,
me.
Well, I mean, we know how to get around that nowadays.
But. Well, I'm just saying. Like,
yeah.
if I want to legally get into something, there, yeah, it's just ridiculous as it stands right now.
And then even with the $200, you can't watch your locally aired game. So like,
yeah, because they have like separate contracts.
Right. So if there's like a big game on ESPN that like everyone wants to see, then and it's on ESPN, I can't stream that one. I have to watch it on ESPN. It's like, well, I bought the $200 streaming thing because I don't have cable. So, yeah, it's a nightmare.
It's a mess.
I think in a few years it'll sort itself out because
so
a lot of these companies, like Disney's streaming service is not going to do well. Let's be realistic here.
I can't even think of anybody that would be really interested
kids,
in that.
And kids don't have money. So they're not, like, that's the thing. It's,
well, and families, they want to just buy the thing that's going to, like, cookie cutter, take care of everybody.
Right.
And that's what Netflix is right at this
yep.
point. There is some, it's granted, it's a whole lot of garbage.
Yeah.
I'm not going to sit here and defend Netflix, but there is at least something for everybody to watch on there.
Absolutely.
And kids also don't give a shit about regular cable television shows right now.
No.
They watch YouTube. They watch
yeah.
Fortnite.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a big part of it.
I have little sisters and I asked my dad, like, what do they watch? What do they do? He's like, man. They had to set, like, a limit. They had to block YouTube on their router
mm-hmm.
because that's all they do.
Yeah.
That's all they do is just sit around and watch YouTube.
Yep.
So, I mean, it makes sense because that's all I do. So
yes.
Yeah, so Disney, may the luck of the Irish smile on you. All right, let's see. We'll just mention that Breaking Bad's got a new movie coming out. We already talked about it when the podcast goofed. I think it's whatever. Bowman doesn't care. I don't really care that much either, but I'll see it. And it seems to be focused on Jesse Pinkman and his escape from the Nazi camp. Not the 1940s Nazi camp, the 2008 Nazi camp that was in the middle of Albuquerque desert. He's escaping. They're after him. The police are going to catch him. He's got his prints all over that lab. So, yeah. Breaking Bad movie. Bowman's lukewarm on it.
Yeah.
I'm like someone peed in a cold pool temperature on there. So, like, you just feel a little warmth near you.
Yeah.
I'll check it out.
Yeah, of course. Like you said, you're watching Better Call Saul, so why not?
I think it'll tie into Better Call Saul, and I also hope, real quick, I'd like to say, I hope that it's theatrical and that Aaron Paul gets his big break. Wins that Grammy.
All right.
So, on that note, let me do a quick review of the Batman animated series. Good Blu-ray. Costs $130. Comes with all four seasons of the animated series. Comes with six little holographic
lenticulars.
Three mini Funko Pops. Funko Fops. I'm not a Funko Flop fan.
You're not a Funko Flop fan.
I'm not a fan of that. So I hopefully won't be saving those. I'll be selling them to some schmuck online. Fantastic set. The transfer is amazing. All you need to do is look at some pictures that compare them. Looks phenomenal. Sounds phenomenal. They got some commentaries from the director and from some of the actors. Mark Hamill, I think, is in a few. Kevin Conroy is in a few. You got both movies, theatrical movies, on there. Completely remastered. 1080p. We got Mask of the Phantasm. We got... I think it's called Sub-Zero something or another.
Yeah, Mr. Freeze movie.
Yeah, Mr. Freeze movie. Not starring Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Nope.
Those look, from what I've seen, that I haven't got to the movies yet, but from what I've seen in the screenshots, they look phenomenal. The entire set is really nice. If you keep an eye out on it, you can get it for around $80. It retails at $130 MSRP, but I highly recommend it to anyone who's a Batman fan. To anybody who's a 90s kid, old school type of jam, to anybody who's a Mark Hamill nut, grab this set. It's beautiful. I give it my two thumbs up. Been waiting for it for a long time. Held off on buying the DVD sets for the last like 12 years because I knew that this one was coming eventually. And my patience has paid off. So, yeah, highly recommended. Really loved it. Comes in like a nice... The discs itself come in like a nice book. The book opens up. Each page has notes on the series and then some pictures. And then there's like a slot for the discs. And super nice. So check that out if you're into Batman the Animated Series. Or if you're just into Batman. Because really, this iteration of Batman, in my opinion, is the most accurate of any Batman media. The multimedia. So, you know, out of the comics and stuff, obviously the comics are going to be the best and the most accurate, and that's where it comes from. This is the most accurate to the comics. It's drawn and looks like a comic book. The animation is phenomenal. It's gorgeous. It's hand-drawn animation. They use a lot of, like... I mean, you've seen the show before. They've used a lot of, like, really cool, like, matte paintings and stuff. Mm-hmm. The show looks amazing. It looked amazing in its time, and now that... Hand-drawn animation is like a thing of the past. It really just so impressive what they did. And the reason why it was canceled, they didn't so cancel it, but they like turned it into a different show after four seasons, like the new Batman Adventures or something like that.
Which was trash.
And they changed it to a cheaper method of making it because the show was so expensive to make because they went all out on it and just... The animation is just incredible. So, highly recommended if you're a Batman fan. The most accurate portrayal of the Dark Knight, and, in my opinion, the Joker as well. My favorite Joker. Like him more than that Heath Ledger punk. And I definitely like him more than that Jared Leto. So, he's played by Mark Hamill. Really, really good portrayal of him. And, yeah. So, on that note, I guess we'll just go right in IAP, but we don't need a whole episode on it.
Okay.
Nah, maybe we'll just do. I mean, it's no different. So, we'll go right into what have you been doing, Bowman, with your life? What have you been up to? It's been a few weeks since we did a real episode.
I've just been busy, man.
Yeah.
I submitted my application for that program.
The program. You make it sound like it's program. Some like weird
no,
Nazi.
I'm applying for a teaching abroad program, and I'm nervous about that.
Are you going to be the new Chris Broad?
I don't think so.
Your name is Chris, and you're going abroad.
Yeah, it's true. no, because it's not 2007 or wherever when he did it.
Yeah.
And it's now there's...
Got to get in while it's hot.
Now there's like a million.
Well, you should just go to Ethiopia
now.
Then and...
start a new vlog trend over there.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a possibility. It's a strong possibility.
Bowman in Africa.
Yeah, I could do that. I mean, I, in another lifetime, consider the Peace Corps.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a good system. I think they should do what they do with the military, where if you go into the Peace Corps, then they give you free college or whatever.
They do some pretty cool... They do a lot of great benefits, but yeah, not to the military right. level, obviously, but yeah. Because I did do research into the Peace Corps as well. So... Yeah, just nervous about that. Gaming-wise, not much happening right now, man.
Yeah.
I don't even want to, like, mention Valhalla again. Because that's all
same.
I'm playing right now.
Same. I'm doing Persona.
Yeah.
So.
Recent game.
You might as well just, by the way, turn off your thing because I ran out of space. So
okay.
This whole, between all the cuts and stuff, this video is going to be totally fucked.
Yeah, all right. Well, we try. We'll do it next time.
Yeah. But yeah, so
you're
digging into Ice Climbers now, is that it?
No.
On the Nintendo Switch?
No. no. Just a lot of cool recent gaming pickups. The Limited Run was like really backed up with a lot of the recent releases.
I got a couple of things being shipped this month. I got a few emails.
Yeah. So, I mean, on the way, I got, just like you, Summer Gongora is on its way, but Bon Appetit.
Bon Appetit.
Golf Story is on its way for me. I just got Bastion in the mail yesterday.
Oh, well.
Bastion.
Maybe I'll get mine tomorrow.
So, that's a really cool game. I'm excited to play that one.
Have you played it? You never played it, though,
right? Nope. You're the reason that I got it.
It's a good one.
Yeah.
It's a really good one.
I kept looking at footage of it, and I was at a point where I still don't buy games that often. And when I say that, I mean I'm not a crazy collector anymore.
It was a little cheap, though. That's kind of what
exactly.
put me
that's,
over the edge.
Why, like,
$25.
Yeah. And, well, you recommended it to me, and I kept watching YouTube footage of it, and I'm like, this looks so cool.
Yeah.
I really want to play
really,
this.
Really, like, the art style's fantastic. The narrator's really good. And the gameplay itself is, like, almost like a shooter, like a bullet hell type thing.
Yeah. And once I saw it, it was only, like maybe 10 to 15 hours at the most.
It was awesome.
So, yeah, looks solid. So, excited about, I ordered Double Switch. Did you order it?
And it was done.
I mean, just wait. The Switch version's going to happen, though.
Right. Well, once again, it's one of those situations where I own it already, so.
Yeah. I mean, if you want, if the Switch version gets announced, I'll just sell you my PS4 one.
Yeah, that one would probably, I don't know. I'll have to see. It just kind of, on one hand, I definitely want the Switch one more than the PS4. Like, it would make more sense. But then on the other hand, I already own Night Trap on PS4, and it's kind of like that weird OCD thing where it's just like, they're like very similar games, and they're kind of like, it's like set almost, and it's weird to have one on one console and one on the other. That's the only thing that's holding me back from just being like, well, I'll just get the Switch one.
Yeah. I'm excited about it. Double Switch is like a really, really important game to me. I think I've already gone off about that though before. I mean, it's just, I'm so happy it happened. I never thought they would release that. And these are these games that like you guys used to make fun of me for like being big fans of. And it's just one of those things where if you were a fan of those as a kid, like, you understand why they're appealing. Mm-hmm. I think they're a really hard sell for an audience now.
Yeah.
It's like, it's not the same thing recommending Double Switch to somebody that it is, like, recommending, like, Final Fantasy VI or something.
Right,
or, like,
of course.
Or, like, you know, Kid Clown or something like that. It's not the same. It's just that I was there for that era, and it was just, and I, it's so awesome that I actually can have a real way to play it now, because other than that, I could only play it on, like, I mean, it was released on multiple things, Sega CD, Sega Saturn, I think the 3DO also got a version of it.
You were on the cutting edge.
Yeah. So, I have it physically for Sega CD, but I don't have, I sold you my Sega CDX. And so, I mean,
there it is.
Yeah, so it's nice to have looks good. It's nice to have a easy, accessible way to play it. So.
It's a good looking boy.
Yeah, it's a very good looking boy.
So, yeah.
What about you? I mean, we haven't talked about, I mean, we keep talking about when we were like, what games have you been playing? Like, I think for us, sometimes you and I just like collecting, so game pickups happen. So, what's been going on with you?
I mean, I don't buy many games nowadays.
You get some things.
Some things, like, but the only thing that's sticking out to me on the top of my head is yesterday I ordered Horizon Zero Dawn. It's $10 right now for the complete, I think it's called the complete edition.
Pre-owned?
With all the DLC. No, brand new.
Wow.
$10 brand new.
Wow.
And I had a $5 GameStop gift card that our old pal Neely gave me. And so it cost me $5 out of my pocket. And that's, I was like, okay, this is supposedly a really great PS4 game exclusive.
Just had bad timing and it's released.
Yeah. And it's not exactly my type of game, but for $5. You know, it's like 100, probably with all the DLC, it's probably like 100 hours of content. And I'm like, okay.
My thing is, when a game is like that cheap, even if you get a few hours of entertainment out of it, then...
It will never be cheaper than that. I guarantee you will never find, for me personally, because of the GameStop card I had too, $5, I will never, ever see it brand new for less than $5.
Yeah.
I don't care how shitty the game is, how badly it sells, you will never see a brand new game for less than $5.
Yeah.
And I don't know if the DLC comes on the disc or if it has a code, but that's another big thing that it was new that I know that I'll have the, like, the DLC itself is more than $5.
Are you going to get Battleship Brigade?
No.
No?
Probably not. I haven't cared enough to look at it, and it's one of those things where it's just like, I don't need to be picking out new games to buy when I've never even played it.
That's fair.
So, like, yeah. I didn't get Double Switch. I would have much rather gotten that.
Yeah.
So happy to have Senran Kagura.
Oh man.
Bon Appetit coming in the mail.
That's a big deal because
been waiting on that one for a
while.
All
the DLC.
Yeah.
All packed in.
Well, for me, it's a huge deal because it's a Vita exclusive.
Yeah.
So I'm not like you. If there's a game that has a release on Vita and PS4, I'm gonna get the PS4 version because they're the same price, and it just, why? Like, it makes sense for me. I have a nice setup in my living room and stuff. It with surround sound and all that. It's just, it would be stupid of me to get the Vita version.
Yeah, well, my argument's always been you can just play it on the PSTV.
It's not the same though. A lot of the times, those soundtracks and stuff are mixed in stereo only.
Yeah.
And also, they max out at 720p.
True.
So, yeah, it just makes sense for me not to not get the Vita version. But I like my Vita, and I'm always looking for more reasons to use it. So I like when they release Vita exclusive games, and this is one of them. And I like Senran Kagura, and I like rhythm games, and I love cooking. So
cooking, boobs, rhythm.
It doesn't
game.
Get better than this. Yep. It doesn't get better than this. So yeah, I'm looking forward to that. And then I feel like there was something I ordered on Limited Run this month. What came out that I got? Come on, man, give it to me. There's something. PS4 game, maybe.
PS4 game? Was it the VR game that they released?
No. I think it came out the same week as Double Switch or whatever. It was Double Switch.
Oh, duh. Rabby Ribby.
Yeah, I got that. We both got that.
I got that for Vita, of course.
You got Vita. I got PS4. Rabby Ribby.
Yep.
Been waiting on that one for like 2 years almost now.
Yep. I was really excited about that one.
That is right up my alley. It's a cute anime girl Metroidvania bullet hell game.
Yeah.
So
excited about that one.
Yeah, that's right up my alley. So Yeah, that's what I've been up to. And got Thanksgiving coming up.
I'll be working.
I will probably be doing nothing because I did not get an invite from anyone in my family for Thanksgiving.
Are you serious?
Sort of. I was told that my mom was going to Thanksgiving at my grandma's, who lives like 3 hours away.
Ah.
And that I was welcome to meet them there. So I was like not invited to like ride with them or anything. And I'm not driving 6 hours in a day to go there. And then in my like dad's side of the family stuff, I didn't get an invite. So my wife works. And I think maybe I'll just play Persona 5 all day and enjoy the fact that everything's closed and everyone's busy. Also, I debated just coming to see what you were doing at work when you were saying you had to work there.
You're more than looking to stop by.
Yeah.
I'll pour you a beer and we're cooking Thanksgiving food. I would totally just be like, here, just have some of this.
Yeah.
So if you want to stop by and keep me company.
Maybe I will. I always like to swing by Best Buy Friday. I got hooked up last year.
Oh, yeah. You hooked me up as well with that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, because I got some really great deals. Like, I got Yakuza 0, but it was, like, the day one edition that came in, like, the big box with, like, extra stuff and whatnot. And I got that for $30. And I got
this guy at 5 for $20.
Right. But even more than that, I got Nier Automata. And it was so crazy in the Best Buy that the cashier fucked something up and I got Nier for free. So yeah, like I got day one edition. It had been out for a long time now. I got day one edition Yakuza with all the bonus stuff for $30 and Nier for free, as well as some dirt cheap Switch games. So yeah, that was a big get for me. Those were two of the biggest games that year for PS4. Both exclusives. So that was nice. And I like to stop by. Just to pop in. I'm not like a doorbuster guy. I'm not going to be sitting there waiting. Last time I did that was when Target did the 3DS XL Zelda Gold Edition for like $100. It was a 3DS for $100, 3DS XL, and they still had some Zelda ones in stock. So it was all of them. So I lined up about an hour or two early, see if I get one, and I did get one, so that was a great deal. But yeah, I like to pop into Best Buy, just see what game deals they have, and sometimes I grab a couple of things, but I don't know if I'm going to do that this year, because it's not a lot that I'm interested in. The deals aren't that great. Like, I'm interested in God of War, but I think they're like, it's like $30, and I might as well just wait a few more months to get it for $10.
You're going to be able to find that game.
Horizon Zero Dawn. It came out a year and a half ago, and I said, I'll be patient and get it for $10. And that's exactly what I did. So yep. That's what happens when you have a game that sells 10 million copies, is you can find it for dirt cheap, especially a one-player narrative game like that, because people don't want to play it again. They trade it in.
Probably when I'll buy Red Dead 2.
Yeah. So, well, Red Dead 2, I bought that one because look at GTA 5. It's been out for 5 years and it's still $40-$50.
Fair, yeah.
So I was like, it's likely that I won't be able to get this for a long time. So on that note, we went to IAPA. I'd just say that. We're going to release a new episode in the coming days or week. We went to the International Association of Amusement Parks and Attractions.
Wow, you memorized it.
It was a lot of fun. We had a good time. We got some good interviews. We got an interview with the Halo arcade game developers.
Yes.
I got an interview. Well, our friend Snyder got an interview with the developer from Taito of the Attack on Titan VR experience. It's like a game/ride. That was really cool. We got an interview with the PR guy from the new House of the Dead game.
He was like a sales guy. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, he's a PR rep.
Yeah.
House of the Dead game, new arcade game there. And I got an interview with, I can't remember the name of the company right now, Chicago Pinball Tables, I think. They're re-releasing three very sought-after, very good pinball games. They're remaking them.
Medieval Madness.
Medieval Madness, Attack from Mars, and Monster Bash. And those are three very sought-after, very expensive games that they made from the ground up with the same exact play fields and types of, but with updated LED lights and parts and stuff. So, and they're relatively cheap for pinball machines. Really cool stuff there. So yeah, we've got four interviews for you. Our thoughts on the IAPA convention expo. It was really fun. It was a really good time. We got pictures I'm going to be uploading. So keep an eye out for that new episode. And on that note, Bowman, where can they find us?
You can check us out on the Analog Out.
Mm-hmm. We're not the Analog
Out. We're not the Analog Out. I'm sorry. I'm getting used to the name here. Analog Out. You can find us on Google Play Music, podcast, Podbean. You can check us out on Spotify. Pretty much everywhere. Every podcast service you can think of, we're on there. Analog Out.
Yes.
So please check us out. Follow Pat on Twitter.
Project Pat 88. Project is with a K. And I tweet frequently in regards to the podcast.
Yes.
Where can we find you?
You can find me at Bowman Says at Twitter.
All right. You're using that thing frequently. Pretty often, yes. Lots of good information.
I've got one follower right now, so if you want to be number two.
maybe I will be number two. I don't know.
You can check me out. I will keep you updated. Just send me a direct message, and I'll get back to you in about 3 weeks.
Yeah, or 3 seconds, really.
Either way.
Since you only have one follower.
Yeah, that's true.
It's not like your inbox is slammed.
Yeah.
Yeah, so real quick, we forgot to mention, we are going to Holiday Matsuri.
We are. It's next month.
It is next month. We're going to another convention. It is an anime-centric convention over here in Orlando, Florida. And have you ever been to Holiday Matsuri?
No.
No, you haven't. I think it's at the same place as Anime Festival Orlando. No, because that's nowadays. That's it. I think I have been to Holiday Matsuri then. Just as a, I think I've delivered some Chinese food there once, and then I just hung out for a while.
Mm-hmm.
It is December 14th through the 16th, and some of the guests involved are Lucy Pohl, voice actor. Actress. She is what looks to be, is this a Overwatch character? It looks like a female Angel.
That's Mercy. Yes.
Okay. Is it?
Yes.
Okay. And then we've got a another voice actress, Jennifer Hale. She is the female cowboy.
Yes.
In Overwatch.
That'll be Ash. It's a new character, and then we have the voice of Pharaoh who's going to be there as well. I didn't know that Ash was going to be there.
And then we got Todd Haberkorn. He's a voice actor on a lot of different animes, but specifically now on My Hero Academia. Some of the sponsors there, you got Funimation, Crunchyroll, and Cosplay Deviants. Okay, where is this place located, Bowman? Do you know?
It's in Orlando, Florida.
It's in Marriott World Center. This thing is a massive, massive hotel. Holy shit.
Lots of events.
It is enormous.
Yeah, I looked at it earlier.
I'm looking at this picture right now, and would have loved to have been offered a free hotel room, but we'll just take the free press passes
instead. I looked
it
up, too, man. It's like $150 a night.
Which isn't bad, for a hotel this size.
It's hard. It's a hard sell for us.
We live here. So it's, but yeah, it's a beautiful hotel. Check it out. Come and see us if you want to meet the Game Boys. And a few other guests real quick. Let me just run through here. We got Keith Silverstein is a voice actor of the little troll guy from Overwatch with the claw.
Torbjorn.
Everyone's favorite. We got Jen Cohn. She's the Korean girl.
That would be
the
Diva.
Mech girl, Diva.
Diva.
Okay. And we got Nathan.
Pat's a big Overwatch fan.
Right, you can tell. I'm an Overwatch nut. We got Nathan Sharp. He's a musician. We got some cosplay guests. Yaya Han, Allison Tabitha. It's weird. It's not Tabitha. It's Tabitha, it looks like. We got Hoku Props there. They're cosplay guests. We got Phil Mizuno, a cosplay guests. Got a lot of cosplayers here. If you're looking to meet up with the cosplayers, take pictures and stuff, you better get on down to Holiday Matsuri. We're going to be here. We got Brett Ultimus, YouTuber. He's there. We got Dookie Shed. Dookie Shed. I didn't make that up. That's a real YouTuber's name.
Dookie, we're on our way to talk to you, buddy.
We're on our way here. Hey, if you hear somebody in this list here that you want the Game Boys to interview, that you want the Game Boys, we're not the Game Boys anymore. Well, we are. We are the Game Boys.
We're still Game Boys.
We're the Game Boys, but the name of the podcast is Analog Out, so we are the Game Boys. If you want us to talk to somebody here, send us a tweet or a review on the podcast app of your choice and tell us who you want us to talk to, and we'll talk to them. We'll ask them the questions that you want answered. And on that note, thank you for listening. Make sure to subscribe, like, do all those things. And on that note, here's our beautiful new outro. Goodbye. Log out.